In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Malo lele and welcome everyone to Nijan Footy Fridays. My name is Sam Wykes and with me is my Cook Island Coey, Tinira Arona, to talk all things rugby league and rugby union in the Pacific Tee. You've had a great week, haven't you, my friend?
Kia ora, everyone. And you've had a great week. Kia ora, Sammy. Yeah, it's been a big week.
You always have a big week.
It's cool, eh? It is cool. I got to travel to the outback in Australia, in the middle of Australia. Me and my wife went to Uluru.
Yes.
And seen the big red rock in the middle, smack bang in the middle of Australia. And it was majestic. It was
majestic.
Majestic. You like that word?
Did someone use that in Uluru when you were there? So you go, I'm going to use that.
That's just the word
the
that I
thought. The first word that came to your mind was majestic.
Majestic. When you go out there and see the big rock, did you ever see Mount Fuji in Japan?
I did see Mount Fuji.
And got that feeling of, wow, like how big is that thing in the middle of Japan?
Yes, because when you fly into Japan, you can see Mount Fuji, and they call it Fuji-san, as in like they give it like a person, because I'll be Samu-san, you'll be T-san, and Mount Fuji, they say Fuji-san.
Well, that's the
that's how iconic it is.
That's the feeling that I got when I seen Uluru flying in on the plane. I'm like, there it is, and then as you're driving towards it, you get to see it in the middle of the outback, surrounded by desert. And that's that feeling I got was, majestic. Got to ride our bikes around it, and then the last day got to run around it.
How many Ks was it?
It was 9.5 K, so when I finished, I had to run the extra 500 meters to get 10 K.
Yeah,
I did pull my calf on that run because I tried to send it.
Little tweak.
Yeah, little tweak there. So
different surfaces to run on, that's probably why.
Sand and rocks, and then trying to pull my phone out and get videos while I was running didn't help. And I got the moment of when I actually pulled my calf. So, cool story.
See, you're a well-traveled man, but okay, we do have a show to get
through. We do. And as you said, we will cover rugby league and rugby union today. Round 15 in the NRL kicked off last night, where the Rabbitohs played the Broncos. We will cover that one. It's been a quite emotional week for our rugby league game. We've had the announcement, very, very proud announcement from a good friend of mine, Kane Evans, that we'll speak about very shortly. Jai Arrow, also the acknowledgement, and Rabbitohs and Broncos celebrating his career, which we'll touch on. And we'll also get our two special guests on Nijan Footy Friday, Sala Tongatuki and Nemani Nondola Kurundrani, joining us to cover all things rugby league and rugby union.
Beautiful. Plenty to get through. Let's kick it off.
Hey everyone, Alex Johnson here from the PNG Kumuls, the South Sydney Rabbitohs. You're here with Nijan Footy.
T, rugby league news. Let's start with Kane Evans throughout the week. Obviously, probably one of the most powerful interviews I've ever seen. And I don't know him personally. I've only met him once or twice, and I know that you've played with him. A few of the other boys that we know played with him. And it was like watching, I said this yesterday, I was like watching one of the brothers, honestly, just wrestling with some pain and suffering, of what he was feeling, but to then have a little bit of that weight off the shoulders and then be brave and speak about his sexuality coming out as being gay, man. So obviously you've played with him, you know him quite well. What did you think of that interview?
Yeah, man, I got a lot of love for Kane Evans, and I got to play with him at the Sydney Roosters. And he was like he's the same age as my brother. So he's like one of the young kids when I was there. And I was one of those players that loved hanging out with the younger guys. So had that bit of respect from Kane as well as RT, one of the older players. But when I watched this interview, I was in Uluru and it was on TV. So it had the ads. So I said, oh, Kane, you know, he's opened up earlier, I think it was about a couple months ago, about being homeless. So I was like, oh, Kane's sharing his interview about him being homeless. So it was. I went into an ad. I switched the channel. As I came back to the channel where Kane Evans was doing his interview, it was the back end of it. So I didn't actually catch the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, you could see him smiling, this weight off his chest, off his shoulders, while he was speaking. And then once the interview was finished, the reporter or the interviewer, and I think it was Andrew Johns, they spoke straight after. And the guy who'd done the interview mentioned, you know, was how proud he was that, you know, how when Kane announced or shared that he was gay to everyone. And I said to myself and my wife, I looked at my wife, I was like, did he just say Kane announced that he was, or shared that he was gay? Then as I went back to the interview, went straight on my phone, watched the whole interview, and me and my wife were just there. After the interview, my wife was in tears, obviously happy tears. But for me, as a really close friend of Kane Evans, very proud of the man that he is and the journey that he's going through. And then also seeing the reaction from the rugby league community, how everyone got around him.
Yeah.
Everyone put his, you know, sent messages. I sent him a message straight away, said, very proud of who you are, bro, and sharing. One thing I want to share about Kane Evans or the journey that he's on right now is that he's very early in his healing process. He's very early in the personal development and the work that he will do from within. And I think as everyone just needs to probably respect that time that he's going through right now. And don't put any extra expectations on Kane Evans as he is going through this rebuilding phase. But I know when there will be a time when it does come that he will impact so many different people, He already has, but he will do even more once he's healed from within.
Yeah, because he's obviously, there's one, wrestling with the fact that, yeah, he came out in such a way where we know in our Pacific Island communities it's a touchy subject. Like, we weren't sugarcoated. It is a touchy subject in our communities. But at the same time, someone like Kane being able to be brave and show the courage to be able to do that, like, that's one part of the story. But, you know, the homelessness, the addiction parts, like, there's a lot of healing, as you said, that Kane is going to go through. So I'm glad this first layer for him, for himself as a person, that he's still here to tell his story.
Yeah.
Because it was unbelievable, you know, like, you know, some of the, what he was going through, and he felt like the one of the ways that to ease that pain is probably to no longer be here anymore.
Yeah.
So I just thought, like, that's, man, I just got so much love for him.
Also, I want to give a huge shout out to Joe Nullivell. Kane Evans, when he was asked who supported him through this journey, and the first person he mentioned was Joe Nullivell. And he did say from the RLPA, but I know as well, yes, RLPA are doing such a great job in that support for our past players, our transitioning players and current players. But also Joe Nullivell as a man, regardless of where he worked, he would have done that for anyone.
Yep.
And yeah, I know he doesn't like taking the flowers, but you know, just knowing the person that Joey is, I want to give a big shout out to Joe Nullivell.
Just on that, man, the support networks are so important. Like, you can't do this alone. You need people you trust. And as you said, that there's no title, there's no amount of hours where someone like Joe is going to say, nah, I can't do that because it's outside of my scope.
Mm.
You know, he's doing it because he loves and cares. And that's where our Pacific Island community, we're built for this stuff.
Yep.
Around loving and caring.
Community.
For community and helping one of our own. The Roosters as well here in Robbo.
Yeah.
Pay out of his own.
That'll be my next point.
Yeah, paying for, I think, 4 weeks rent or something like that. I know some of the boys gave him some clothes as well. Some of the players that have got their own clothing brand. So just all of those little stories.
Have you heard Trent Robinson's post interview about the Kane Evans announcement?
Nah.
So he shares about Kane Evans being at the Roosters for 6 years, but still not feeling comfortable to share that he was gay during that time that he was at the Roosters. Like, he loved that Kane Evans seeing the Roosters as a home, but he also acknowledged that we as a game, we as a country, we as people have a lot of work to do, because he still felt that Kane didn't feel comfortable to share that he was gay in the 6 years that he was within those four walls.
Yeah, much love to you, Kane. You got our full support, and you get you right, and hopefully one day you get to share more of your story, because I've got no doubt these conversations are going to help a lot of people out there. But let's move on to some Origin news, my friend.
I forgot to mention this in the intro, but State of Origin. Jeez. We, for everyone listening, we didn't have Neejin Footy Mondays. It was a public holiday here in New South Wales on Monday. So we're still catching up with sharing to our audience the State of Origin news. The teams.
Are we going to one all? Is that from the look of? Is that what you're thinking when you're looking at the teams and some of the changes that have been made?
There was some very strange decisions.
Or is it not enough to win? We're going 2-0.
Or there was one big strange decision, and I'll just say it straight off the bat: Haumole Olakau'atu, Laurie Daly.
Talk to me.
What are you thinking? Come on, man. Haumole has been named 20th man, so he's not even on the extended bench. He's not an option to play the game. Now, I didn't think he played too bad in game one. I thought they didn't play him. He didn't get enough touches of the ball, but that was also due to the structure of way that they played.
And some of those mistakes that you were saying before that coming out of their end, well, you don't have possession.
Well, yeah, and the middles, the forwards, they fatigued. I believe he also ran the most meters for any forward in the New South Wales Blues. He is a right side back rower. And look, I love Dylan Lucas, and I think he's been a great player. He got the Players Player of the Month last month, but he's also a left side back rower for the Newcastle Knights. So he'll be playing on the right. He's replaced Haumole Olakau'atu. My biggest thing is, like, man, I don't know any back rower in the NRL right now who is better than him.
Well, you talk about form.
Name one back rower that's better than
Haumole. I just think if you talk about form, he has the best form in the NRL at the moment for his position. He is terrorizing the right edges of the left defensive edges for the opposition and going through making meters. So it can't be an individual sort of thing here. It's got to be. I can't even explain it, because there's other players like, say, Mitch Moses, you still want to have in the team, who hasn't got his fitness. He still hasn't even been announced yet. I don't understand this one.
Yeah, maybe it's a structure thing or it's a gameplay thing, but I think that you're wasting a huge threat not playing Haumole Olakau'atu.
So you think that's a sign of relief, Queensland's left edge, where they've just gone, oh, thank
you. If I'm Cam Munster, I'm like, thank you. You don't have to run over me like you did last game.
Yeah.
It was Cam Munster that he ran over one of his first touches down that right side, and he's just ran straight. I put him on his back, and if I'm Cam, I'm like, thank you very much for not having to play him. But, look, it is what it is.
Yep.
He is 20th man. Huge relief, or it would be a positive sign for Manly fans, because they get to,
and they got the bye,
they don't get to lose one of his or put him at risk. Another decision in this team, I love that Casey McLean got to Stephen Crichton was ruled out due to injury. So Casey McLean, just the way that he performed in that game one, how he came on and attacked that game, I love that he's been given that starting position. Payne Huss, I think he's probably one that we haven't spoke about enough. He's played two big games leading into this one for the Brisbane Broncos. But imagine having Payne Huss and Haumole next to each other.
You talk about someone winning the middle. Like, it would have been Payne winning the middle. Then you've got Haumole coming off some quick play the balls there. But, that's great news then. We've got Payne in there at least.
Adam Fanua-Blake, he has moved to the bench. I think he's going to add a lot of spark off the bench alongside Cam Murray and Victor Radley. But then one of the veterans, the old bull, Api Korosau, the Fijian, he gets named as number 17. So he'll be coming off the bench playing in at hooker, replacing Rhys Robson. So due to Blake Brayley being injured during a Cronulla Sharks game, Arby got the call up here. And then on the extended bench, you've got Ethan Strange at 18 and Mark Nawangani Tawase in 19th. So he is still an option to play in this
game.
So
what, with Marky, obviously, I know that with the new rules, his probably likelihood of getting on might be slim, T, unless the concussion or the or something like that where he gets injected into the game. But for someone like him, if the Blues need to find points, do you just chuck him on somewhere? Because that guy's a big game player. He's played at World Cups. He's played at Olympic Games and on the big stage. And he knows how to find that try line.
He's the perfect player to have when one of their outside backs go down and they just slot him in and they can rotate. Like Casey can play fullback if needed. Tolukola has played fullback.
Yeah,
say
true.
If James Tedesco got injured. If any of the back centers or wingers go down, Mark can cover that place. And he is an X factor and will be able to score points. So I love that he's been added to this extended bench. And then also at 21, who's been in camp, but he would be playing for the Dolphins this weekend, Isaiah Katoa.
Yeah.
He gets a call up into camp as well. So
how far do you reckon he is away? Oh, it's very hard because Nathan Cleary doesn't look like he's going anywhere soon. But do you think there is this time where Nathan and Isaiah could be partnering at some point?
Potentially.
Like how Mitch Moses is, obviously he's a seven, he's the main ball player, but they've made it work with him and Cleary. Can we see Isaiah doing that at some point?
I don't think he's far off, but for as long as Nathan Cleary's there, Isaiah will have to wait his turn.
Just be patient.
And if you think of the back, the big three, when Billy Slater, Cooper Cronk, and
Cameron Smith
had that 8-in-a-row series, there were those three players that were waiting just for their opportunities.
Yeah, that's
as well.
Right.
Ben Hunt.
Well, Daly Cherry Evans had to wait his
Daly
time.
Daly was another one. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So they, Isaiah just taking the experience, learn from the greatest, and just keep building on his game because when he does get his opportunity, oh, look out. Well, look out.
We've still got Monday to talk more Origin.
Hey, we've got to cover the Queensland team.
Oh, why?
That was all the Blues. That was just all the Blues.
I thought we didn't have to. I thought we were one-eyed here.
Wow. Very biased from you, mate. But there hasn't been many changes. Britton Nakora gets the call-up to start at back row. I love how they've added Reece Walsh on as 18th man, as the extended bench. Now, whether he gets on or not, what it has done, it's silenced a lot of the media platforms who have questioned why isn't Reece Walsh in the squad. So he is in the squad. I don't know if they'll find a place to put him in this game because, where do you put him?
Ah, man, I'm looking forward to Billy Slater's strategy around this one. Probably everyone's thinking the same thing as what we're thinking. Where do you put him on? Don't know, but
Billy's does Kalen Ponga go lock Billy's and then Reece Walsh go to fullback?
It could be something like that.
Kulikefu Fenefe Uyaki, he gets to potentially make his Origin debut.
Yeah, Origin debut.
At number 16. I know that he's been the 18th, 19th man a couple of times. So looking forward to watching him rip in. Helam Luki, he also is the 20th man. I know that he was on the extended, he was within the camp over the last couple of years as well. But when you look at game one and the way that they started that game, if it wasn't for Kalen Ponga getting sent off, Queensland go on and they would have been up 1-0 in this series. So it doesn't surprise me that they are the favourites. When you've got players like Harry Grant, Cam Munster, Kalen Ponga, they're going to be a threat. And Sam Walker has been playing. He played unreal in that game one. So they are a threat. I think it's going to be a great competition. If New South Wales Blues can get a good start and find momentum, don't make those errors like we did in game one, I think we can come away with game two as well.
On Monday, let's go through a bit more of a strategic approach on both teams and why you think they'll get the job done for both sides, because that will lead nicely into Wednesday's State of Origin. But we still have one more game to get through for Rugby League.
Yes, last night, round 15, NRL kicked off. Rabbitohs versus the Broncos. Now, the scenes before kickoff, another emotional moment for Rugby League. They pay tribute to Jai Arrow, celebrating his career. Jai is currently going through MND, motor neuron disease, and so he's retired from professional rugby league. So they celebrated his career before kickoff. He walked out with his family in a guard of honour, and just I don't think there was a dry eye in the stadium. He got to go out there and ring the South Sydney's legacy bell. And during that, they paid tribute to Jai Arrow. He got a quick moment with two former teammates, Adam Reynolds and Cody Walker. Just a lovely moment, a game where we see our game come together to support one of our players in Jai Arrow.
Yeah, man, the Rugby League, South Sydney are doing an amazing job at the moment supporting their players. They've also got Nathan Merritt, their former winger, going through a tough time with cancer, so he got to ring the legacy bell not that long ago. You got someone like Jai and the South Sydney club, they're really getting behind their players. Love the fact that, when they're going in, they wore the white jerseys, the all-white jersey with all Arrow, his last name on all of their jerseys on the back. So they're doing everything they can to uplift Jai's spirits, and you can tell that he's really feeling the love.
And then the Bunnies, you could see that they brought that emotion into this game, played for one another, because, geez, they turned it on. Led by their captain for this game, Cody Walker. In the first half, they scored 5 tries, kicked 5 goals. It was 13-0, and this is against the Broncos. Rabbitohs at halftime were winning 13-0. The Broncos, they did have a number of injuries and players out, but South Sydney, they've also got no Latrell Mitchell, no Cam Murray, no Jack Wyden. So the players were out there playing for one another and put on a show. In the second half, the Broncos winger, Josiah Kapani, he did score a try for the Broncos. He was one of the best players for Brisbane, but the Bunnies, again, another 3 unanswered tries in the second half. 8 in total, 8 tries in total. Guess how many Alex Johnston, the
he's a freak.
PNG flyer.
He's
scores.
A freak. He's a finisher.
NRL's greatest try scorer.
He got 4 in this game.
4 tries alongside Edwin Cossey and David Fifita, Jamie Humphreys, and John Riddell. He scores on his NRL debut. So great win by the Rabbitohs. Great occasion for Jai Arrow and getting the victory for their teammate. But Broncos, they are currently sitting 4th last on the ladder, 14th. They've won 5.
Last year's premiers.
They've won 5 games, lost 9. So
I don't know what the answer is here for the Broncos, because you're looking at some of the things that happened in a game that I think it was, who passed that ball to the front row when he wasn't looking? Would you say, I think it was Ben Hunt? All those little things when you're playing and you have a lack of confidence. All these moments happen where you go, you shouldn't be seeing that from a side that won the grand final last year. Mm. With the caliber of players where he's just passed it and he's not even looking, ball goes to the ground. You know, there's just so much confusion in their team and just lacking a lot of connection while they're out there.
I think as long as they can mathematically make the top 8, there will always be a chance, because they've got players like Payne Haas, Reece Walsh to come back, Katoni Staggs. There's enough talent there to win
to turn
games.
Things around, yeah. They better start want to do soon.
They'll want to do it very soon.
It's round
because
15.
We are getting towards the back end and they need to start winning some games. So congrats to the Rabbitohs. And we still have a few more games this weekend. But remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. But let's head over to Rugby Union.
Hey guys, Willie G here. You're listening to Nation Footy. Love what you guys are doing, man. Get on board.
Yes, T, Super Rugby semi-finals is on this, well, starts tonight, actually.
Who got knocked out last week?
I'll give you a guess. They're from
the both Australian teams.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was a genuine question.
Nah, the stat continues where no Australian side has won a finals game over in New Zealand, so that continues for another year.
Well, the Reds close.
They played some good footy, but it just, towards I think the yellow card hurt. With Lucan Salako-Lotto being yellow carded, head high tackle, or red carded actually, head high on Wallace Setiti, they're 8.
So we've just got the 4
Kiwi teams. And I do have to apologise, actually. I got the stat wrong last week and I knew it. I got it wrong. I meant the Crusaders haven't lost at home in a finals game. So,
I was going to say that, yeah.
Yeah, because nah, been... they lost, they lost the grand final a couple of times. They lost it to the Tars, but I meant at home in Christchurch, 32-0, which now is 33-0. In Christchurch, but they have to try and get the job done over against the Chiefs in Waikato. That's going to be a tough game, that one. But we'll start with the Hurricanes and the Blues. Honestly, I just can't see the Hurricanes losing. Man, like, did you see the weather last week in Wellington?
No, I was in Uluru.
Oh, you're in Uluru. That's right. Mm. It was the opposite to Uluru. That's for sure. Like 50-kilometer winds, 50 mils of rain. Like it was
heavy.
It was heavy. Like Windy Wellington was at its peak. And when you think about, you know, the style of play where people try and play a little bit more conservative, play to the conditions, Hurricanes didn't do that. They played, mate. It was nearly 40 something nil at halftime, or 40-7, something like that. And the game that they just played, they were still offloading, they were still running from area. They just got layers to their attack. So I cannot see them losing against the Blues at home at the Cake Tin. Like you look at their stats, 95 tries this whole season to the Blues 73. I feel like the Blues play a little bit like the Aussie sides. They kick a fair bit. They don't chance their arm enough. So I'm thinking that the Hurricanes get this one done. And for the Chiefs and Crusaders, this is a tight one. This is the one that will be probably the game of the round. When you look at tries scored, even 81 tries each. The Crusaders are going to have to try and win away from home. Like your mate Lima, he talks about it a lot. You know, with the Crusaders, know how to show up and play finals football, but the Chiefs, they've just got brutes. I think so. It's going to come down to obviously the individuals getting over their opposite number in this one.
Who got in this?
Oh, this is such a tight one. A part of me wants to go Crusaders because they've just been there and done it too many times. But then a part of me wants to go the Chiefs because they've been heartbroken so many times against the Crusaders.
Is the grand final next weekend?
Next week, yeah.
If Crusaders win, is it a home final?
If the Crusaders win and the Blues win, it'll be a home grand final for the Crusaders. But if the Hurricanes win, mate, the Super Rugby grand final is going to be in Wellington. I'll put my bottom
line. I say that because the Warriors are playing
in
Christchurch next weekend.
How does that work?
That's why I'm asking the question.
That's a great question. Well,
it'll probably be the Sunday. The game's on the Sunday, so it'd be the Saturday.
Super Rugby's grand final has never been played on a Sunday. Oh, is the Warriors game?
Warriors is on the Sunday.
Warriors will be on the Sunday. Yeah. Can you imagine that?
Crusaders versus the Blues at home. That would be pretty
cool. That'll be pretty cool. I don't think it's going to happen, but if that happens, that's a great weekend in Christchurch, and you should stay for both games if that happened.
Being a Australian rugby union fan yourself, what do the Australian rugby union fans think of the Super Rugby, given that it's all four teams in the finals? Like right now, what are their thoughts?
Probably the worst possible thing you can think of.
Boring?
Just not even really caring. Just accepting. Yeah, yeah. Accepting the fact that this is how it is. I don't know what the answers are, man. Honestly, like league's flying, AFL's flying, union's just sitting below all of that. There's talent there, but at the moment, it's not enough to be able to say it's world class. But we will say the Australians won the Sevens World Championship, so we'll hang our head on that one. But plenty happening. I look forward to unpacking it on Monday, coming through to see what the grand final will look like. Plenty to get through, but T, that's us for Rugby Union.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, it is time to hear from our NRLW superstar. She plays for the West Tigers. She has also represented the New South Wales Blues, the Jillaroos, and also the Fetu Samoa. Sala Tongatuki. Sala, happy Friday. How are you?
Thanks, boys. Yes, I'm good. Thank you. Yourselves?
We are good.
Oh, we're flying at the moment. Yeah, absolutely. T's had another holiday, so that's the seventh for the year.
I know.
We're only halfway. It's like 1 a month. He's got too much cash. He just keeps flying everywhere.
Boy, I'm going to New Zealand next weekend to the Christchurch game.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So do I need a fill-in?
I'll be back. I'll be back in time.
This is our comms just here when we're live on radio. Perfect. Hey, but before the footy news, obviously two things I want to get through. Michael Jackson dance moves, still killing it. Love it. Keep it coming, Sala. my friend T here gave me some footy cards for my nephews. Been sitting in my car for about 3 months now. Pulled out the card.
God.
And nephews took them, and then I saw your one there. I was like, yo, I'm having that. That's my mate. They didn't believe me. So I had to put it on Instagram. So thanks for sharing it, Sala. Nothing better than the action shot facials. That's for sure. But I've got it. I need you to sign it at some point, Kaz. So I appreciate it. Anyway, let's go footy now.
Let's kick off with State of Origin. What are your thoughts on game two? Give us a player to watch and why from each team.
I'm looking forward to Payne Haas and Tino Fasua Maliawi. They're probably the two premier front rowers, obviously, in the game right now. So, yeah, obviously, Payne's got that ability to bend a line with his carries, but even with defence, he's so mobile. You see him moving and that, like, really well. So, yeah, I find he finds a way to obviously get a quick play of the balls and put his team on the front. And that's probably what the Blues and that missing game one with Payne. But then Tino, on the other hand, like, he's got that aggression and leadership. I feel he carries the ball well as well, but I think he sets the tone for the Queensland physically. So, yeah, probably them two.
Do you feel like over the last, or since I remember watching Origin, there's always been that bit of feistiness or commentary towards each other around, you know, you wait till kickoff and I'm going to run off the back fence. I don't feel like I'm getting that vibe this year.
No one wants to put themselves out there.
Literally. Yo.
Can we spark something up here? That.
Get Stefano back here.
Let's spark something up here.
Ooh, Stefano would do the job. I reckon Payne, like, obviously he didn't play game one. He would have, if he wasn't injured and that, he'd definitely be there included. But, yeah, I'm probably going to see how back Payne. Sorry, I'm just so biased to Blues.
Yeah, so is Sammy here.
Yeah, I didn't want to talk about Queensland. I was like, nah, it's going to be 2-0. We'll wrap up the series in Melbourne.
What about the girls when they, when you do play each other, is there that bit of feistiness before the game or it's all just business as usual?
Nah, there's actually a lot of feisty in that. Leading up to it, actuals. And I think each team's got that player that's just a bit of a grub, sorry to speak, but each team, like, oppositions would know who to try and get under their skin.
Can I ask, is one of the ones that Queensland love to go after is who's your winger, the one with the tattoos opposed for the Roosters?
Frizzy, yes.
Do they like going after her?
Yeah, it's definitely Frizzy. They call her the pit bull.
She doesn't shy away from it, but if I was in the opposition, she would rub me the wrong way. That's for sure.
But she's the teammate you'd want to have anyways. Like
on your team, yep.
She's got your back. Like,
yeah, nice.
When you're in a big finale, she'll jump in. Like, she'll sprint from the other end. You'll guarantee her. So yes. She'll be there. She'll do the, like, fighting for you.
Love
it. She's crazy.
When the Queensland women's team play the Blues, who do they go after?
Kennedy.
Yeah,
I was going to say it, but I didn't want to say it first.
But in saying that, like, I feel like Ken's has done really well to, like, not let anyone get under her skin. Like, she's obviously matured and that, and everyone has their moments when they obviously start playing where people just get under your skin, but you learn, like, about yourself, and she's been good. Like, no one's gotten under Kennedy's skin. She'll just, like, keep her head up and just go again. Like, that's just Kennedy.
You got to be bulletproof, don't you? You got to be almost like a memory, like a goldfish. Like, just nothing fazes you. But because if you're going to put yourself out there.
I could not do that.
If
you're going to go do Michael Jackson moves on social media.
You better be able to back it up.
100%.
On the field.
Oh,
all right, let's get on to NRL round 15. Which game are you looking forward to and why?
I'm looking at probably the Warriors and the Sharks game.
Up the Sharkies.
Are you a Sharkies?
Come on now. No, I'm Sharky. What was that? 685 maybe?
Are you Sharky number 685?
I don't know. There's something around there. I just know it's less than the Roosters because Roosters it was like 1114 or something. But sorry. Yeah.
It's not about you, mate.
Sharky's my second team.
Okay. I was like, damn. A lot of passion in there.
After the Roosters. So come good. On. But anyway, back to the game.
Oh, look, for me, I just feel like for the Warriors, I think it's just about continuing to trust what's worked for them all year. Their defense has been really strong. They're completing well. And for me, like, the player that probably gets them rolling really well through the middle is probably Wade Egan. I've been a really big fan lately of him. Just what he, like, just getting around a ruck and that, just, like, his footy IQs, it's just hard to stop. Like, he's even, he just gets the middles and that going. So I feel like this week they'll need that again, especially with Barnett and Fisher Harris out. It doesn't have to be pretty. Just keep their physical and disciplined standards as they have been. But for Sharks, they've probably been one of the more consistent teams in the competition, considering where they're sitting on the ladder. I feel like it's their kicking game that's really strong for them, and they defend really well. So they probably don't beat themselves as much. But without Adam, I think it's less about replacing him with one player and more about everyone doing a little bit more just to make up for his absence. But, yeah, a couple of matchups for me, I'd probably like Ali Leotawa against Jesse Ramian, and then the battle of the wingers with Khan Pereira and Mulitalo. If either side gets quick play of the balls and, you know, get that momentum going, those outside backs are obviously going to look dangerous. And, yeah, I think the Warriors just need to make it a grind and turn it into a middle battle. They've got talent across the park. So, and then, yeah, the Sharks will probably want to control territory and just build pressure through their kicking game.
We talked about players getting under someone's skin. Ronaldo, would he be the best in the competition?
The number one.
He's got to be number one.
I reckon.
And because he talks smack from the sideline, he just goes on. And I would hate to play against him. And I heard when I was with him at Magic Ground talking to So Jesse Ramian's his inside center. They played the Bulldogs at Magic Ground. And the opposite winger, he just copped it the whole 80 minutes from Ronaldo.
Wasn't that like his first game back from his ACL as well?
That was his first game back. He's like, kick it to me. He's my son.
He's my son.
But why is it such a common pattern? Like, it's the wingers and that. I feel like you don't get much.
Yeah, true.
We're probably not fit enough to be putting our energy into it.
Also, it's the Samoans.
I think he's Kiwi, from what I heard.
Yeah, true.
He pledged his allegiance to the New Zealand Kiwi.
Well, I actually do like the Cronulla Sharks in this one. With no Mitch Barnett, no Kurt Capewell, they've also got injuries in James Fisher-Harris, Lekahala Sima. Sharks are missing Adam Fanua-Blake and Britton, but with those big losses from the Warriors, I think there's enough there. And I know Sharks play well when they're on the road as well. Also, I want to give a shout out to the hooker, or the number 14 for the Warriors, Makaia Tafua, making his NRL debut. So, we know what that's like for these players making their debuts, how hard they've worked. So, a huge congratulations to Makaia Tafua.
He's young, his family.
I'd say early
20s. Just doing a quick search. He's a young gun. Young up and comer. He's 30.
See, early 20s, 21 years old, born in 2004. He was actually born in Christchurch, South Island, a hooker off the bench. 180 centimetres and 88 kilos.
Thanks, Wikipedia. Perfect.
Beautiful. Both teams know how to win, honestly. Like, it's not about changing too much. It's just doing the little things right for a bit longer.
Well, I do hope, either way, if Sharks win, love it, because ex-Sharky. Oh. But if Warriors win, they'll be in a good mood, and hopefully I can get some tickets from my friends over there for the Christchurch game.
Well, a lot of this show has been about you.
Yeah.
Like, bringing it back to you.
Yep.
Okay, sweet. I just want to know you're acknowledging. That's all I've got.
What's your point, mate?
No point.
This is my show.
This is your show.
This is my show.
The T and Sam show.
We weren't here on Monday. We're just making up for lost time.
Okay, fair enough.
So, sorry, Sala. Back to you.
Sala, it's all good, boys.
Thank you for joining us every Friday. Thank you for your rundown, your expertise, your expert advice, and hope you have a great weekend. And we'll catch up next Friday and see how you're preparing for that first trial against the Dragons.
Boys.
Beautiful.
Thanks,
Shot,
boys.
Sala, I appreciate it. Take care.
I'm looking forward to it. You guys take care too.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Interception by Big Nemani.
With Nemani Kurindrani.
Yes, here we go. One of my favourite parts of Nijan Footy Friday is checking in with the big man, Big Nems Kurindrani. Here he is.
No surprises. No surprises this week, Sammy?
Nah, no surprises
this
week. 2 minutes before the show, I need a replacement. Lucky I've got some people in my phone book. But anyway, Nems, how are you, mate? Busy, are you?
I'm good. Yeah, well, that's what I'm a bit worried about is those names, because they'll easily, they're probably better than me anyway. They'll probably be better on the show. Mate, so Campo, that's why I'm very hesitant.
Campo was very good. Campo was very good last week, man. He was, for the short amount of time he had to prep, mate, he was unbelievable. Honestly.
Yeah, right. We get it. He's your best mate. We get it.
and then he goes to me, oh, what? Does Nems get to invoice for this? Is that?
don't be telling us.
No, I'm joking. No, but it is good to have you back. It is good to have you back, Vaughn.
I'll miss the Flying Fijians coach. Next Flying Fijians coach.
Yeah, to plug him. He said, bro, can you, put it out there for me that's where my next big goal is, coaching Fiji. But hopefully he does a good job with the 20s. And we'll see what happens.
Which you will.
For yourself, my friend, obviously a lot's happening between the last time we spoke. What have you been up to?
Oh, mate, it's been good. Obviously, season's over now, so I didn't realise when you finish as a player, you know, when you retire, like when the season's over, you sort of go away and do holidays and stuff.
Yep.
One thing I've learned as a staff, you've got to continue to work. So you've got to do reviews and you've actually got to rock up to work. It's been good. I've just been busy with work and, you know, just trying to make the world a better place. It's the business I'm in.
What does work look like when the season's finished for a coach?
Yeah, well, from what I've experienced thus far, there's reviews, there's looking to the season for next year. Obviously, we're in a transition zone. Obviously trying to find a new coach and then recruitment. So I've actually got to watch rugby, and you can't lie about it because, you know, it's not like back in the day. Who watched the training? Did anyone watch the game from the weekend? Everyone put their hands up, right, because you know what you did. But, so there's been a lot of that. I've been, just on the road with trying to find, not find, but just look at some local talent that we want. And, you know, my biggest focus for development this year is more so just trying to get a lot of the local guys through. We sort of do go overseas, to get players. But, yeah, we're trying to just been on that, just been on the road and seeing what's out. There's a lot of raw talent here, man. Like, we talk about it, but until you're out there and seeing it, holy heck, man, it's been crazy. So, and then, obviously in the office, obviously the guys above us are trying to find a new coach. I'm trying to keep my job. And, we're just trying to trying to tick all the boxes.
Tick
to
boxes.
Make sure I've got a job.
Your lawyers have a job. Your lawyers have a job here, mate. Yeah. The recruitment hat on. So, is there any insight to any future players coming over to the Drua?
Any next Nemani Nandola Gurundranis out there?
Oh, mate, there is actually some, but I've got to speak to Phil and the guys at ABC. This is massive news. And as you know,
we're getting exclusive.
Oh, we got one.
Finally bringing us something.
besides rubbish stories. I've just got to make sure that I lock in. I'm locked in for next year's next year's season. So when we got that done.
Yeah, you're good.
But, boys,
mark my word, you're good.
Some big news coming out.
Spill it, man. What is it?
Before it gets released, we want it released here on Knees and Footy first.
Oh, you can't do it yet, so it's not official yet. No pen to paper.
Yeah, exactly. Because I said, watch your black eye, bruh. Campo's here.
Nah, I've got you. Well, mate, between your fishing stories and your other work commitments, we do get a little bit of rugby chat in between. So I'm looking forward to hearing this big signing because you need some with some of the players that are departing. I've seen that Tambua Vol, Longani Masi, Etonia Wanga, Elia Thanakaivata. There's some big names missing, man. Like, how do you replace those big names there?
Yeah, it's going to be hard, man. Like, and we're finding, like, when we say it's going to be, we're actually doing it now. Like, the biggest thing, I think, is trying to go local, but, there is some guys that we are looking at to try and fill those voids. And like I said, the next few weeks has been pretty important for us here, trying to make sure that we secure our squad. Obviously, you've got to lock in the coach, but, there's going to be some surprises. And, Wikesy, I know you don't message me anymore because Phil does all that, but I'm sure once you get a whiff of it, you'll be like, hey, bruh,
how's the family? Can we get an exclusive interview? Now, looking forward to it, man. Obviously, if you're smiling from ear to ear like that, it must be some pretty big news. Can't wait for that one. So are some of these players, are they playing in the Skipper Cup as well, some of the young guns coming through?
Yep. Yeah, so we've got obviously Skipper Cup. We're looking at some guys at Skipper Cup, Fiji Sevens. We've got some good guys there. And we've got guys obviously playing in Super Rugby Comp at the moment and obviously overseas in Europe. So we've cast the net far and wide and, you know, we'll hopefully have something, you know, soon. But, you know, it's for me, it's been pretty exciting, you know, being on this journey of being on the other side as opposed to just being a player, just being able to experience it and, you know, the highs and lows and stuff, which has been pretty cool. And obviously for my development squad, well, the Drua development squad, you know, trying to make sure they retain our players as well as bringing some new guys. But, yeah, there's some exciting times for the club. And, yeah, so it should be you'll definitely want to hear this one.
I can't wait, my friend. I can't wait. We've teased it enough now, so hopefully we do get the exclusive. But some other exciting news that's happening, obviously the Nations Cup is going to be underway next month. Fiji will play their home games over in Wales on July 5th, Cardiff. They've got England July 11th and then Scotland July 19th. So unfortunately their home games are played in the Northern Hemisphere, but I know that they've got strong support over there. It is a very strong-looking squad. Like, how do you think they're going to go? Not having home ground advantage, but potentially, you know, having the home ground advantage, because I know there's some Fijians turning up for this one.
Yeah, the squad's been evenly. I think it's the first squad in a while where it's been picked on performance-based. I think there's some guys who are unlucky to miss out, but you know, there's a good mixture of young and old, and I'm one thing I'm pretty impressed about is that despite the age, like whether you're young, whether you're old, these guys that have got picked are literally based on how they're going at their respective clubs. So kudos to, you know, the selectors and the coaches. Again, like I said, a few guys missed out. They probably should have been there, but, you know, this is a great opportunity for new head coach, you know, Sini Rusi to show his worth, and I'm excited to see how he goes. You know, he finally gets his opportunity to coach a campaign. You know, obviously he's still interim at the moment, but yeah, and then obviously the home games are in Europe, which is not ideal, but like you said, there's a lot of Fijian supporters there. My biggest thing for me is, man, the only worry I have, not worry, but my biggest thing will be the first game against Wales. Now, we all know Wales aren't where they want to be and where they want to go, and I think we as a country should, as a team, shouldn't, we should give them the utmost respect, you know, and I'm sure if there's one game that Wales are going to get up for, it'll be against Fiji. Obviously, it's always been the big grudge match, but that's, if we can get that one through, I think we're going to be going good. But, yeah, man, it's not going to be an easy three games. Like, these are massive powerhouses of rugby. So, yeah, man, it's exciting. But, look, I'm really excited about the squad. Like I said, Pavelli Ato, Levani Bortia, these guys are, you know, well into their careers or 30s. But, again, you're performing. It is what it is, man. You earn it.
I think having the home games in the Northern Hemisphere can be a positive with the World Cup next year and the preparations and the things that they'll gain from that experience traveling on the road. You know, I do hope that they are successful against them, them big rugby union nations. But in regards to the selections, I'm hearing some whispers that Fiji are turning to AI. Is there any truth to
I did see this, man. Fiji, this, I'm pretty keen to get some insight
turning
here.
To AI to help with selections.
Yeah.
How has that worked?
Good question. Well,
is it the paid version? Is it the unpaid version? So you've got five, you've only got five picks to get it right on the unpaid one.
Where's this report coming from, Sammy? Because I'm just reading off the paper here.
No, I saw it in the, mate, the headline in Fiji News.
Yeah, no, it was. It is. It's actually big news. And that, some saying, well, that was a decision between Semi Randranda and Vakitawa making the team. Like, that was...
That's what I read, yeah.
AI because, yeah, the numbers, Semi obviously had a bit more numbers than Vakitawa, and it was like, yep, that's it. Numbers don't lie. That's what he said.
This reminds me of the Brad Pitt movie, Moneyball. I know we mentioned it offline, but that's what they'd done to get the fit everyone in the low cap was to get all the numbers. Yeah. And So they've played the numbers game and used AI.
Look, I don't mind it because I think, technology is always there to be used to help with your performance. But I think AI is only as good as the information you feed it. And I know some of those stats that you'd feed from, say, from external people, like it could be flawed. Like, so someone's interpretation of a stat could be different to your interpretation on how you do it. Say, for instance, for like ruck speed. The Western Force do their ruck speed. Some of them in their coaching stuff will do it from how fast the ball comes out from when you hit the ground. But others do their ruck speed from when I engage with you with contact, drive, drop, and then give it.
Or how do you put a number on communication or the work you do off the ball?
Like there's so many things where you still need to have a feel of your player and the game and not, numbers, man. You can paint it however you want to paint and look at it, but again, interesting.
And the movie Moneyball was based on baseball, which is a whole different unions.
It's not as free-flowing as union, and obviously they're using that for finances, around keeping under a salary cap. But I'm interested to see how this goes because I've got no doubt everyone's using technology, but, pretty keen to see how it unfolds.
Well, it's funny you say that because when I was playing at Leicester under Steve Borthwick, the Leicester Tigers used a company in London to give live feedback on the weather, on how we were playing, on how we were running, and change the game plan on the spot. So there was a company in London giving live feedback to the Tigers when we're playing 2 hours away in Leicester, and it could be like the weather would be off a little bit or it was all this data stuff, and then it would come back in the game and sometimes would completely change the game plan. So
and how did it go for you? Used.
Well, we won it that year.
You won it that year? There you go. Yeah. There's something in it.
So kicking games, they were kicking like, you got to kick this much against this team, and we literally got to a point where we were doing it, and it was like, mate, I remember one time we were playing one way and we would lose, like we weren't losing, but we were just in it. He'd come in, scrap the whole thing. It was like, right, first 20 minutes, we're doing this, that. Did it, literally genuine one. And then, so the team's now using data companies. Okay. And again, we won the competition that year. So it does work.
It does work, but it's probably obviously not working for England at the moment with Borthwick. But anyway, all good. Nems, it's been fantastic to chat to you. If we don't have big news next Friday, I'm getting Campo. All right.
See that? This is why I'm holding off on it. So, Phil, and reply back to my request.
All right. Much love, my bro. Good to chat. We'll check in next Friday.
See you, boys. Have a good one.
Take care. Bye.
Smoke. You better lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Smoke.
All right, here we go, T. We have our lock and smoke to finish off the show just with our tip in here. What's the score, T?
14-11, I am winning.
Okay, you could have just said 14-11, that's it. No, I'm winning. It is about you today's show, I love it. But we don't have much time left because we did go a bit long with our chats. But anyway, all good. Let's quickly go through these. Who are you going for your lock?
What are we playing for again?
We are playing for a feed.
Okay. My lock will be, let's go with Roosters to beat the Dolphins.
Oh, that's a big one. I like it.
Yep.
I'm going to go the Hurricanes to beat the Blues. That's my lock.
Hurricanes
in Super Rugby semi-final. Blues.
Yep. And your Smokey?
My Smokey, I'm thinking in the women's game here in the Super Rugby for the women's at the moment. The Western Force are travelling over to Fiji to play against the Drua. Sarah Nagama is starting, and for that reason, they're my smoke.
Okay. My smoky will be the Eels to beat the Raiders.
Oh, nice.
It's a tough one.
Nice. That is a tough one. Okay, perfect.
That's us, Sammy, for Nation Footy Fridays.
Wrap us up, my friend.
Tell your Pacifica mates about our Monday and Friday shows and subscribe to the podcast. Just search Nation Footy wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you on Monday where we will be having a huge guest, PNG superstar.
Yes.
Former.
This PNG time Kumar, we are having our huge
and
guest
we do
on.
Have him.
We do have him.
So join us on Nation Footy Mondays.
Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.